This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Armed protesters in Oregon. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Kashenka. It is Monday, January 4th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
A dispute over federal land management has prompted demonstrators in eastern Oregon to occupy the buildings at a national wildlife refuge. They're calling it a peaceful protest.
Flooding problems continue in parts of Illinois, Missouri, and Tennessee thanks to a rising Mississippi River. Officials are also watching further south.
President Obama holds a meeting with his attorney general today to discuss executive orders to regulate guns.
And the jobs that face extinction in 2016.
If you're in this field, it doesn't mean all the jobs are going to disappear next year, but it means you're just increasingly vulnerable to being replaced, and you need to think about adding to your skill set, figuring out ways to use new technology to make you more productive, or maybe get into another field.
Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman on jobs and careers that could be on the chopping block this year. His list in about 20 minutes. An interesting story unfolding in eastern Oregon over federal land management. It's happening about 300 miles southeast of Portland in the small town of Burns, Oregon. That's where a group of self-styled militiamen on Saturday took over the headquarters of a U.S. wildlife refuge to protest the upcoming jailing of two ranchers. The protest was being led by Ammon Bundy, the son of Cliven Bundy, owner of a ranch in Nevada, you might recall, where his family staged an armed protest against the Bureau of Land Management in April 2014. He held a news conference yesterday.
When government steps outside of its bounds that the people have given it, that it is the duty of the people to put that government back in its place.
The occupation is in support of Dwight Hammond Jr. and his son Stephen Hammond, convicted in 2012 of setting fires that spread to public land. They turned themselves into federal authorities. They were to be sent back to prison after federal prosecutors won an appeal that resulted in their resentencing to longer terms. Their ranch, by the way, borders on the southern edge of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, which is a bird sanctuary. President Obama is expected to propose new executive actions to reduce gun violence. He'll meet with Attorney General Loretta Lynch today to discuss his options for tightening gun rules without going through Congress. Although the White House has not spelled out his plans specifically, they are expected to include measures that would require more gun sellers to become licensed dealers and conduct background checks on buyers. It's also an issue on the presidential campaign trail. Here's Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton.
That Republican president would delight reversing executive orders that President Obama has made, including one that we expect to have background checks for more gun buyers by requiring more sellers to do them.
Also, Republican presidential candidate Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida.
All these executive orders he's going to come out with that are going to undermine our Second Amendment rights on my first day in office, they're gone.
The right to bear arms, as you know, is protected by the U.S. Constitution. Congress has not approved major gun control legislation since the 1990s. Republicans have roundly criticized the president's plans, calling them an overreach of his executive authority. Meanwhile, the president will take part in a town hall-style question and answer session on gun control on CNN Thursday evening. Tensions in the Middle East may have risen to the next level. Saudi Arabia yesterday cut off diplomatic relations with Iran. That means Iranian diplomats have until tomorrow to leave Saudi Arabia as the kingdom's execution of a dissident cleric inflamed sectarian tensions. Crowds of outraged Shiite Muslims demonstrated in cities from Tehran to Beirut, condemning the death of Nimr al-Nimr, a prominent Shiite cleric put to death in the mass execution of 47 prisoners by Saudi Arabia on Saturday, many of whom were beheaded or killed by firing squad. Demonstrators are also calling for the downfall of the Saudi government. Reaction from Fadi al-Shamari, part of the Islamic Supreme Council in Iraq.
I think Saudi Arabia made a big mistake when it executed al-Nimr, and this will fuel the existing sectarian violence in the region more and more. They have poured oil on the fire. This will spark new unrest in the region.
Through a translator. Meanwhile, Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei declared that Saudi Arabia would face divine retribution for Mr. al-Nimr's execution. The unrest raised alarm in Western capitals about a new year of growing hostilities in the regional battle for influence between the Sunni Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and Iran, the dominant Shiite power in the Middle East. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us on this Monday. Actor and comedian Bill Cosby is facing charges in Pennsylvania for drugging and sexually assaulting a woman in 2004 inside his home near Philadelphia. This is the first criminal case brought against him out of the torrent of allegations. His lawyers called the charges unjustified and said they expect Mr. Cosby to be exonerated. We're joined now by psychologist Dr. Bart Rossi, who's with us live this morning. Dr. Rossi, I think the number of women filing such accusations now is north of 50. How did this go on for so long without a criminal charge until now?
Well, I'm not sure about the criminal charge issue, but I can say that I believe he's had a longstanding personality disorder. And I think he's been able to hide it perhaps better than anybody. I mean, he was such a famous individual, but there was a side to his personality that's been so negative and for such a longstanding period of time that I think there's something that's gone on with this man relating to women. We don't know exactly what that conflict is, but the way he's apparently treated women is so harsh and so negative that I think that he's really undermined himself to a great degree. And I don't think his lawyers are going to be really successful in this. I think they're going to have problems.
Got to be something psychologically wrong with him, right?
Oh, yes, and for a long time. And I don't know exactly what it would be, because I think it relates probably back to his view of women. I mean, think about it. He could have had an affair with many different types of women, Hollywood stars, but he didn't choose that. He chose to have one-time encounters, pretty much one-time encounters, where he drugged the woman and then had sex with her. I mean, it's very perverted, very sick.
All right, so how does he hide something like that for, decades, I guess?
Well, people get to be very good, very clever. He's smart. And he got away with it. And what happened here, I think, is the more he did it, he actually enhanced his own view of himself about getting away with it. It reinforced his notion that he could get away with it. And it went for a long period of time. And, we see this in other areas as well. I mean, take a look at Bernie Madoff. How did he get away with that behavior for such a long period of time?
Yeah.
How did he cover it up? There are people who become very good, very defensive, and they're very clever at getting away with things.
We're speaking with psychologist Dr. Bart Rossi, who's with us live this morning, talking about the Bill Cosby case. All right, so I know you can't comment necessarily on the Cosby case or Cosby himself specifically, but generally speaking, when behavior like this surfaces, are we looking at somebody who may have been abused himself as a child?
No, not necessarily. I don't think that. I think that's been overplayed. Many, many people claim that they were abused, and then we find out later that that didn't really happen. I think that's been overblown and overused. I think that it's more likely that he has had some perverted or odd or misleading view of women for a long time. Perhaps if we looked at him, growing up, his relationship to women as he grew up, because the actions here described by these 50-some women are so perverted and so harsh that it has to be some type of longstanding personality or character disorder that's been there and behind the surface, obviously, but it's been there for a long time.
Yeah. Does this come up during the trial, you think? They're going to dig into his background?
I think they're going to dig into everything they can, and they're going to take a look at what reasons, perhaps, resulted in, or what factors resulted in this type of behavior. That may be a stretch, but the actual description of what happened by so many people is going to be hard for him to overcome, I think.
Yeah. What was the first thing you thought of when you started hearing some of this unfold in terms of the alleged actions that Mr. Cosby took?
My thinking was, what is he thinking about? What's going on in his head now that he's caught with all of this? What kind of a thought process is going on in his head? Because, you know, psychologists talk about using denial or repression to make things go away.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, it's almost impossible for him to deny it and say it didn't happen. And that's why I think in a couple of instances he looked so uncomfortable when he was confronted with questions. He didn't even really deny it. He didn't know what to say. And I think he's really been put off by this and is probably suffering a lot.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for a few minutes. Appreciate it. Dr. Bart Rossi, psychologist, with us live this morning. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Court in the remote high desert of eastern Oregon has become the latest flashpoint for anti-government sentiment as armed protesters occupy a national wildlife refuge to object to a prison sentence for local ranchers for burning federal land. Ammon Bundy is among the people at the headquarters of the National Wildlife Refuge.
The American people have a right to know what's going on. I do want to acknowledge that the reason and the principles that we are here are based upon the Constitution of the United States.
Bundy posted a video on his Facebook page asking for militia members to come help him. In what appears to be the latest piece of propaganda from ISIS, a video released yesterday purportedly shows militants shooting five men accused of spying for Britain. One of the purported militants, speaking with a British accent, railed against British Prime Minister David Cameron for waging war against Islamic State. President Obama is slated today to finalize a set of new executive actions tightening the nation's gun laws, making his first order of business in the new year a clear sign the president in his final year doesn't intend to go quietly. At a meeting with Attorney General Loretta Lynch, FBI Director James Comey, and other top law enforcement officials, Obama is expected to sign off on a package of proposals aimed at curbing gun violence and cracking down on unregulated gun sales. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders slammed Republican frontrunner Donald Trump for his attacks on Bill Clinton and what he deems his false campaign rhetoric, suggesting Trump turn his attention to real issues facing the people, like climate change and the minimum wage.
I think, you know, we have enormous problems facing this country, and I think we got more things to worry about than Bill Clinton's sexual life.
Sanders also stood by his previous statement that Trump is a pathological liar. Will it be Peyton Manning or Brock Osweiler when the Broncos open their playoffs in 2 weeks? Manning came off the bench yesterday to trigger a come-from-behind 27-20 win over the Chargers.
Peyton Manning's going to go in this game as Brock Osweiler standing on the sideline with a stocking cap on. Manning is ready to go.
Dave Logan on KOA. Manning completed five passes for 69 yards.
Backup quarterback, Peyton Manning.
Yeah, that
sounds so bizarre, right?
That's really weird.
He came in, what, four of the first five possessions they scored on?
He didn't play all that well, but it just gave the team enough spark to win.
He's Peyton Manning.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That name's on the back of your jersey.
Yeah.
Defenses shudder just a bit. 23 minutes after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Coming up next, the most endangered jobs of 2016.
He's in the paint. Down by two. Can he do it? The ball is up. It's nothing but net. The crowd goes wild.
Hey, Greg. Waiting on your PC again.
Yep. Want a front row seat to the big game?
No, I'm good.
A workplace that doesn't work is anything but beautiful. Give your employees the power to do their best work and reduce downtime by 50% with new, powerfully performing Dell and Intel technology. Learn more at Dell.com/business.
Glad you're with us on this Monday. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by Dell. Make your work beautiful again and reduce downtime by 50% with powerful new Dell and Intel technology. Learn more at Dell.com/business. As you head back to work today, here's something to consider. The economy will trudge along this year with employers likely to match or exceed the number of jobs created during the last 12 months, but the mix of jobs will continue to shift thanks to the digital revolution. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman has a look at the most endangered jobs. Rick, what'd you find?
So I pulled out the ones with the highest percentage of work that can be automated. In most cases, this is 85% of the work or more in these fields can be automated by technology that exists today. So One of the biggest categories is production workers in industries such as textiles, packaging, painting, and even meat cutting. We do still make stuff in the United States, and we do still have factory jobs here, but these are basically lower-skilled jobs, fairly rote, production line jobs that machines will be able to do and probably will be doing before long. Also some white-collar jobs on this list. Clerks who do things like bookkeeping, accounting, auditing, filling in invoices, taking care of billing. There's now software that handles a lot of that, even for small businesses. So that's another field where, if you're in this field, it doesn't mean all the jobs are going to disappear next year, but it means you're just increasingly vulnerable to being replaced, and you need to think about adding to your skill set, figuring out ways to use new technology to make you more productive, or maybe get into another field.
One on the other end of the spectrum is home health aide.
Yeah, that's actually a safe category where McKinsey estimates that practically none of the work can be automated. Now, home health aide is not a job that pays particularly well, but it's a hands-on job. I mean, caregiving for people in their homes. It requires decision making based on people's needs, not something computers can necessarily do easily. You know, we do actually hear about companies developing robots that can do some of this kind of work. But this seems like an area where even if that company said the technology is good enough, I think, culturally, we'd probably be very slow to accept that kind of work. And hands-on jobs in general, especially hands-on jobs dealing with people, are still pretty safe.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, columnist at Yahoo Finance. We're talking about his piece entitled The Most Endangered Jobs of 2016. Getting back to the negative side, two that I found interesting that you mentioned are bakers and butchers.
I found that interesting, too. you think that this is something that requires, hands-on, right? Caring for the bread that comes out of the oven or the meat that goes in the case. And apparently there are machines now that can just do a lot of that work. So that means you need somebody to oversee the machines, but that might be one or two supervisors in an industrial kitchen rather than some supervisors and a bunch of people doing the work. Machines are going to be able to do that.
Yahoo's Rick Newman, 30 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us on this Monday, January 4. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Chinese markets halted trading for the day after shares plunged at the open. Major flooding problems continue for parts of Illinois, Missouri, and Tennessee. Protesters occupy a wildlife refuge in Oregon. President Obama considers executive action on gun control today. Consumer Electronics Show begins today in Vegas. The NFL playoffs are set after the Vikings beat the Packers last night, and the flight attendant getting public praise. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, guns are not the only thing that President Obama plans to regulate with executive action in the new year. We can also expect to hear new rules from the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Food and Drug Administration, and the Department of Labor. As Lydia Wheeler at The Hill reports, the president is preparing to unleash a wave of new regulations in 2016. Lydia, what's up here?
President Obama is entering his final year in office, and this is his chance to shore up a number of regulations that he started in the beginning of his administration to really secure his legacy as he leaves office. So we have several rules, a number of financial regulations, I should say, some coming out of the Securities and Exchange Commission, some coming out of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And then we have some rules from the Food and Drug Administration, as well as some worker protections from the Department of Labor.
What are some of the highlights?
I would say that really one of the main rules to watch for in 2016 is this rule from the Securities and Exchange Commission. It's called the pay-for-performance rule. It's expected to be finalized in the new year. and it'll force publicly traded companies to disclose how much their top executives are making and then compare those paychecks with overall company performance. So the agency first proposed this rule in May, and then they set themselves an October 2016 deadline to finalize the rule. So we're hoping to see it this year, probably not until next fall. Another big one is going to come out of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and that has to deal with arbitration agreements. And those are these little clauses that are slipped into financial contracts. The other top, out of the top three, the other one is really first ever regulations for electronic cigarettes and conventional cigars, and that'll come from the Food and Drug Administration.
We're speaking with Lydia Wheeler at The Hill. She's got a piece entitled Wave of Regulations Looms in 2016. You mentioned e-cigarettes. That reform's a hot topic these days. What does the new reform concerning e-cigarettes entail?
So under the proposed rule, any electronic cigarette or cigar that hit the market after February 15th of 2007 is now going to have to go back for an approval process. And industry groups are really upset about this because they say that this process is going to cost them millions per product. And the e-cigarette industry really didn't take off until 2008 and after. So that means like industries claiming that it's going to completely wipe their products from store shelves because now they have to be tested. They have to make sure that the chemicals in them aren't harmful. That sort of thing. So it'll really crack down on the industry, and it'll be interesting to see which products are approved and which aren't. And, you know, it'll take a long time. A lot of health groups were really concerned, though, that the spending bill would impact this rule. And, you know, frankly, we were reporters and, you know, I think the media was really surprised and health groups were really relieved that didn't happen. But industry groups are really pushing for that grandfather date to be pushed back so that all of their products that are on store shelves now can stay there. And we didn't see a rider in the spending bill that said that. So it looks like that might be that date might change depending on the final rule.
Talk about the new regulation also for methane.
Right. So the Environmental Protection Agency is expected to finalize some new rules to limit methane emissions from the oil and gas sector. So this rule requires drillers to use advanced new technologies to track and block both the accidental and the purposeful leaks that are coming that come out when producing and transmitting oil and gas. And so EPA has set a June deadline for the release of this final rule, but it takes agencies a long time to finalize these regulations and to issue these rules. And so they set deadlines, but then those deadlines often get kind of kicked down the road a little ways. So it's unclear as to whether or not we'll really see that coming next summer.
Thanks, Lydia. Lydia Wheeler at The Hill. 21 minutes now before the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Hey, if you miss a day of the program, by the way, don't forget you can hear podcasts of it on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. Also on apps like TuneIn, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and iTunes. With the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office. The traffic and parking are terrible. It'll be packed with everyone mailing holiday gifts and packages, so you should use Stamps.com instead. With Stamps.com, you can avoid all the hassle of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. Then print postage for any letter or package the instant you need it. Next, the mailman picks it up. That easy and convenient. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Then enter the code DEAL. Hey, you know, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the handle @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly also if you like, say, cynical and sarcastic tweets.
And who doesn't, really?
Well, really. I mean, most of the
That's why
I think
we all join Twitter.
Of the show for this.
That's why we're on Twitter, to be honest.
That's true.
In fact, we're going to talk about one of those in just a few seconds.
Ooh, okay, there we go. Well, you can follow me on Twitter @GordonDeal. You can follow Mike. He's Radio Gavin 1. Speaking of which, Radio Gavin 1 is here now with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, the NFL's coaching carousel officially underway. A former NFL coach took to Twitter last night and appeared to troll his old employer. Jim Harbaugh, who patrols the sidelines for the University of Michigan these days, had a little something to say after the San Francisco 49ers announced that they were relieving his replacement, Jim Tomsula, of his head coaching duties. Late last night, Harbaugh tweeted, quote, "Do not be deceived. You will reap what you sow."
Ooh.
Harbaugh appeared to pull his quote from the Bible, which essentially says that what a person does, whether it be good or bad, will come back to them. Harbaugh had an ugly breakup with the 49ers after last season, you might remember, so it's no surprise that he pounced on the opportunity to rag on the franchise and his replacement.
Following a successful return to college football,
right.
Mr. Harbaugh.
Exactly.
He's felt bold in doing this.
Well, he's successful pretty much everywhere he goes. That's kind of his thing. Now, of course, someone did lose their job in all this, and so you never condone sort of making fun of someone for losing their job. But there is almost no better feeling than being able to sort of go back and say, kind of, someone who's wronged you, whether it be an employer for sure, being able to publicly do that as well. You know, it's got to be a good feeling for him. Say, look, I told you so.
You have to be confident in what you're doing, however.
Right, exactly.
Because that is a burnt bridge right there.
For sure.
So, yes, he's not going back to the 49ers, probably.
No, he's never been afraid of burning bridges, Jim Harbaugh. For sure. So, I think he can feel secure that he did the right thing there.
Fair enough.
And, Gordon, if your New Year's Eve wasn't all you were hoping for this year, there may be a scientific reason why. The Washington Post reports that research done by a team of psychologists and economists on how we experience happiness could offer an explanation. Essentially, on nights like New Year's Eve, when we plan for a big night of exciting fun, we set the bar too high, trying too hard to be happy, and are more easily disappointed. In fact, 83% of the people surveyed in the study who were contacted a few weeks later were disappointed with their New Year's Eve celebration, and the most let down people were the ones who had the highest expectations going in. Those who had only planned a small party were less disappointed, followed by those who had no plans to celebrate at all. The bottom line is, trying to have a great time is one of the surest ways to undermine your experience.
Wow, how about that?
Right, so like for myself, whose big goal on New Year's Eve is just to make it to midnight without falling asleep, I am never disappointed. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. I have been disappointed because I have fallen asleep before midnight before, but I am rarely disappointed.
Yeah.
Because I just make it to midnight and then all is well with the world.
I think I realize I'm in somewhat of a trap at this point in life because I love the people that I celebrate with.
Yes.
And I like the fact that, for example, it's only a mile from home.
Okay.
But
walking distance.
Walking distance.
If need be.
But I'm ready to try something new.
Gotcha.
Or just go somewhere different with these same people.
Right.
Because we'd go to somebody's house.
Yeah.
You know, I'm ready to maybe try something new.
Take the party with you.
But I want it to be a mile away, and there's nothing, within a mile. So I'm caught in this little scenario here.
You have much greater expectations already. You're already setting the bar way higher than I ever could.
Hashtag first world problems. Right.
Exactly.
Where to celebrate on New Year's Eve. Thank you, Mike. It is 13 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. So I was saying in our last segment, this New Year's Eve issue, quote-unquote issue, right? Where to celebrate, how to celebrate, get out of the routine but not go too far. I think I have the solution. It's a new trend that the Wall Street Journal has identified to keep our minds busy. Coloring books for adults. Can't you see me floating this idea to all my friends? We're going to color next New Year's Eve. And stay in the lines. Hundreds of public libraries across the country are offering coloring sessions for grown-ups. And you're thinking, what trend? 8 of the top-selling books on Amazon right now are coloring books designed for adults. In San Diego, a woman who's a health and wellness coach holds monthly 2-hour sessions called Color Yourself Calm. She does them in her home for up to 10 people. The fee is $5. First, you meditate. Then come the introductions to the other meeting attendees. You get tea and cookies, no cell phones. She says calming music is all part of this. There are lavender-scented candles. Another woman in Bergen County, New Jersey, began holding 2-hour workshops called Recoloring Life, $30 to $50 a person. She started doing this back in October. And then there's speculation about what happens when we get tired of coloring. Hatchet Book Group this month plans to bring out the first 2 books in a series of Connect the Dot titles for grown-ups. That's where we are. It's better than Candy Crush, though, right? Or video games in our world. adult world. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon Amundbundy, the man leading armed protesters in the takeover of a federal building on a wildlife refuge in Oregon, says the group doesn't want a confrontation with law enforcement officials, but would defend itself if necessary. He, his two brothers, and others are protesting what they say is the expansion of federal government control over land. Oregon Senator Ron Wyden says the FBI is now monitoring the situation.
The next step from frustration is not to walk off a cliff, misled by some outsiders who seem willing to take the law into their own hands.
The occupation began on Saturday. President Obama will take his case for new gun control measures directly to the people this week while proposing new executive actions in a final big effort to reduce gun violence during his last year in office. The president will meet with Attorney General Loretta Lynch today to discuss his administration's options for tightening gun rules without going through the Republican-controlled Congress. Saudi Arabia has severed diplomatic ties with regional rival Iran following attacks on the kingdom's embassy and consulate in the Islamic Republic over the execution of a prominent Shiite cleric. The decision came after the mass execution of 47 people, the largest carried out by Saudi Arabia in 3.5 decades, laid bare the sectarian divisions gripping the region. The Mississippi River and most other waterways in Missouri and Illinois are starting to recede, but flooding is now expected to worsen in Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, and other southern states, though the severity of the flooding there isn't expected to match what happened in Missouri and Illinois. 25 deaths have been blamed on flooding, nearly all of them the result of vehicles driving over flooded roadways. And the next Powerball winner will have a chance to claim one of the game's 10 biggest prizes this week when the jackpot grows to roughly $400 million. No one claimed Saturday's $334 million prize, although someone from Pennsylvania won $2 million and three players from California, Connecticut, and South Carolina won $1 million in the game. The next drawing will be held on Wednesday.
Isn't that the story that's always lost?
What's that?
You didn't win the $400 million, but some people had to suffer by settling for $2 million
or
$1 million.
Only $2 million.
It always gets lost in the shuffle, those smaller prizes. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You don't have to be a retail giant or government agency to be the victim of a costly data breach. If you run a website and collect customer data, your small to mid-sized business is just as likely to be targeted by hackers. The Barracuda Web Application Firewall provides cost-effective instant security against automated and targeted attacks, making this WAF a must-have for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Web App Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/WAF.
A flight attendant for Southwest Airlines is getting some major public applause for helping calm a 9-month-old. Started thanks to a post from the appreciative family on Southwest's Facebook page. Family says their young son, Aiden, was on a flight from Florida to New York. Started fussing, crying. That attracted the attention of flight attendant Anissa Charles. Miss Charles went above and beyond to make the family feel comfortable, scooping up Aiden and calming him down. So the family wrote this nice note. Miss Charles, after receiving the message, wrote on Facebook that she never blames a child for being fussy on a flight. They're monotonous, right? No place to run around. In fact, she says she'd rather hear children make noise and even cry than hear an adult whine. Amen to that. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.